The thought gradually permeated Mr. Jeremiah Cobb's slow-moving mind that the bird perched by his side was a bird of very different feather from those to which he was accustomed. Rebecca's eyes were like faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Kate Douglas Wiggin, Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. A perfectly bonny summer morning on the farm, and I'm just this side of plowed. Nobody likes a drunk farmer, or rather, farmeress. Nobody likes a drunk farmeress. Nobody likes a drunk, soon-to-be-divorced, in-debt, swollen-eyed, single-mother farmeress, because she simply can't get any work done this way. It is almost July, the time of year when work piles up like cordwood. I should be weeding, I should be watering, I should be mucking out stalls, I should be turning the compost pile. Last night's honeymoon is a waning moon today. Time to sow root crops again, beets, carrots, radishes, onions, so at the very least I should be planting. Instead, I grab another beer. My physical safety behind the wheel of farm machinery is not in any jeopardy because I'm too broke to own a tractor. This place, at only 6 acres, is too small to justify one anyway. A blessing, really, because right now I could harrow something. I could harrow something real good. If I know anything, I know this. No two states of being entice the unsuspecting female bystander with more money for jam promised than farming and marriage. And I fell for both of them. Fell for them like Scarlet fell for Rhett and Tara, like Isak Dinesen fell for that big game hunter and a farm in Africa, like Eve fell for the garden snake. The serpent beguiled me, Eve admitted, and I did eat. I hear you, sister. I took a big old bite out of that very same apple, and look what it got me. Debt, heartbreak, and perpetually ragged cuticles. The only thing growing here today is my livestock-sized thirst. Through binoculars, I watch my new neighbor, Mr. Wonderful, take out his trash. He lugs, jerks, drags, and kicks the floppy bags down his dirt driveway. His slipper tears a hole in one of them, and a buffet of stink dribbles out. My view of his activity is unobstructed for two reasons. One, because my farmhouse has a wraparound front porch, the kind that invites a long pull on a mid-morning beer. And two, because Mr. Wonderful's driveway is dead ahead. A week ago, this man lived with me. Now he lives right across the road from me. In this rural spot on a hill several miles outside of town where drivers are all going somewhere or coming from somewhere, he's one of my only neighbors. He's also the father of our three sons and my husband of more than 19 years. We won't make it to 20. Which is why he's now in binocular range. Wonderful is not the name on his mailbox, of course, but it is the name my friends have bestowed upon him. A name my high school English teacher taught us was a euphemism, a polite way to express something blunt or offensive. I have a euphemism living directly across the road. Walk to the end of my long driveway, turn right, sashay past a hedge of the now apocalyptically named bridal veil bushes, face the road, and there you are, staring at his chipped cement doorstep. Depending upon your viewpoint, it is either good luck or an epic fail that the place was available for rent when I finally found my voice and said the word divorce. Easier for the kids, he said. Won't need a moving van, he said. Okay, I said. When you live out in the country and find you have arrived, through great fault of your own, at a footing so precarious you can barely communicate without cuss words, is having your soon-to-be ex-husband and father of your three sons living across the road from you a good thing? I'm still trying to figure that out. The beer may or may not be helping. Do you think it's been easy for me? He'd shouted, his body ridged and jutting forward in a way that seemed to defy gravity. Waking up every goddamn morning next to Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm? Perpetual good cheer, it turns out, can kill a marriage. And really, who knew? What, I wondered, was there not to be cheerful about? I've wanted to live on a farm ever since I was a little girl, and my upwardly mobile parents moved my brother and me from one apartment, duplex, and bi-level to the next, finally settling down for good in a ranch-style house in country estates. But real farms were where you had gardens. Real farms were where you had space. Best of all, real farms, and not subdivisions, were where you had horses.